Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again.
And welcome back. How is that ruminating going? Are you cogitating on your role in petitioning your government? Are you cogitating on common law grand juries? Or how about your responsibilities within the militia? Are you looking at yourself as an unorganized militia person? Or are you looking at yourself as an organized militia person? Have you even brought up the conversation with your neighbors? What are we going to do if this happens to us? If you're not, you need to, because the old adage, failing to plan is planning to fail. And as I've told my neighbors, I want to know where my lanes of fire are. If the people to the right of me seem to be supportive of Antifa and the leftist agenda, I want to make sure I have some good parapets and my lanes of fire, you know, appropriately marked in their direction. As you know, this is the only show that provides you the academic-based evidence and academic-based evidence solution as to what we need to do and what the heck's going on and how far we have drifted from the Constitution and a limited government. As you know, the limited government has to be really recognized at the federal level because the federal government is limited to those enumerated powers. Now, unfortunately, the states, they're not as limited as we'd like to think. And then again, they're not limited to it in the same ways. It was very clear that those things that weren't delegated to the Fed, the powers, roles, responsibilities that were not delegated to the federal government were reserved for the states to be able to take care of. They're the ones that are supposed to take care of if you want to have socialized medicine or if you want to have a free market medicine, if you want to have education or what type of education. This is where the states are the petri dishes of different forms of interaction services and compassionate types of services for the people. That's the whole point of the states and the beauty of our system, because we have 50 unique applications, or at least we should have 50 unique applications, unless something is just a hands down, this is the way we want to do it, then okay. Then we can start standardizing some of this stuff. But I'm telling you, we're far from having a good standard on healthcare. We're far from having a good standard on education. I mean, we have a terrible standard right now on education, and it is not leading the world in educating those who are coming out. The problem is, and I was having this conversation with somebody, they don't understand why China would be involved in, you know, killing people. It just doesn't make sense to them. They want to be competitive. When you recognize that we're reaching the point as a society that the one excessive resource that we have is people, especially China, especially India, when governments finally get to a point where they don't have to care about how many people die because they have the abundance that there's somebody to replace that person in that menial task. As long as we have enough engineers to continually fix problems and, you know, even the doctors in medicine are becoming less and less, I will say, necessary, because nurse practitioners and or medical assistants and so forth, they're actually taking the role. There are more doctors. You may, if you see a private doctor, you don't go to a hospital and you go to a doctor who has their own office. They probably have a couple of nurse practitioners, people that have less education, that they can pay less money to deal with you. And so they're the ones that kind of oversee, they create these large practices, and that's how they make their money. But the bottom line is that the necessity of having more and more doctors as we get better in processes, we get better in treatments and recognitions and so forth. I mean, there are a lot of people that are playing with Google doctoring themselves and just kind of like, what is that saying regarding a lawyer, a fool and a client, you know, is the person that defends themselves in court. I mean, in other words, I believe it's the person that defends themselves in court has a fool for a client. And anyway, I think you're going to start recognizing that we're getting to a point where having access to that level of information, being able to do things competently, is changing things. Do you need a realtor to sell your property? No. As a matter of fact, I sold a, you know, almost a $500,000 home for, you know, no problem at all, and I hardly paid any fees or anything else. I was able to pocket more of the money in the equity, or I should say the estate, because I handled my mother's estate. And we were able to pocket, I would probably say I saved the estate about 10%, 10% on a home that actually made a lot more money for the estate and for the inheritors. And so we're getting to a point where you actually can do things for yourself more and more. And that's what I'm basically saying. We might be turning that corner on becoming a lawyer and being able to defend yourself, because you obviously know and understand your situation. You may not know the legal jargon. And so as they get better and better at making that jargon, those processes more available to you, the need for the Bar Association may be coming to an end. The need for some of these things, or at least for everybody to have to pay those exorbitant fees. Because I'm telling you, bottom line, the money you pay for a lawyer, I just have a hard time seeing why they get away with charging as much as they do, especially when lawyers are a dime a dozen. Now, supposedly you want to pay for a shark, and they're worth every penny. But like I said, I think we're getting to that point within probably the next 10 years where you should be able to just walk in and with applications and so forth, be able to process everything you need to either sue a company for shorting you or for basically giving you, you know, a bad deal or what have you. Anyway, back to your responsibility, though. Even though we may have an abundance of people, and even though China, India, and in some parts of the United States, there's just such an abundance of people that people become expendable. That's why these globalists, they just don't care. They don't understand. I mean, human capital is an excess to them, and so it is an expendable thing to them, where they don't look at life and they don't value life like we do. And they don't consider every life is important and every life can contribute. Anyway, so I'm hoping that you're pondering on what you should be doing, your roles and responsibility with First Amendment petitions, common law grand juries, and using petitions to basically get a common law grand jury and the militia. So, anyway, what we want to do is we actually want to start putting these petitions on steroids. We want people to understand that you don't have to do the election process. You can actually work and you can actually get common law grand juries down at your local level, and then let's see what happens. As I say, if you're plugged into the Republican Party, and also, because bottom line, when you walk into your party and you make comments about First Amendment petitions, common law grand juries, they're going to look at you and go, what the heck are you talking about? And the fact of the matter is that it's just, it's that old, I say this at the beginning of every presentation, reasonable people, equally informed, seldom disagree. And the majority of the people are not equally informed regarding First Amendment petitions. They're not equally informed regarding the Constitution, regarding common law and common law grand juries, the militia, and as we start educating people and start recognizing that we do really possess a self-government system, that all we have to do is spend a little bit of effort. I know a lot of people are apathetic because they've spent a lot of effort doing the wrong things. And then they get tired of that and they go, you know, I'm not stupid. I'm not going to keep doing this. I'm not getting the results I'm expecting. Well, now it's time to actually do the things that will matter. Because the bottom line is, this is the direction where people really understand that there is something in the Constitution that states that you must fulfill your oath of office. And once we start driving that down, and once we actually start focusing, again, now here it is, once we start focusing on compliance, then I think we have actually turned the corner to where we're going to win this game. Anyway, this show is also sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org as well as RepublicReview.org. And we do have Constitution Day tomorrow. We are going to dive right into the Constitution. We're going to eat this up and we're going to highlight things so that you can understand those things that most people don't understand. And people will be able to look at you and go, how did you learn so much about the Constitution? You'll be able to say, I actually just read it. And that's all you really need to do, because I'm going to prove that to you. So when we come back from the break, we are going to get into more marketing, and we're going to be talking about the election, especially the Electoral College and those types of things, even with regarding the Constitution as we read this. So please stay tuned. We'll be right back after these two promos. Thank you so much. Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcasts and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Mobius Strip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Mobius Strip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with Republic Review, they can enforce compliance to their Constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as Republic Review. Please read my argument for Republic Review as well as my description of the Republic Review model on ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in, and let's get on with the dialogue.
Okay, so it's that time of year that we kind of focus on the Constitution, and I believe, as I've been reading and kind of skimming through both news as well as the social media and so forth, there seems to be a continuance in a backlash regarding professional sports. And as a matter of fact, I believe the NFL's kickoff, they've kind of reported that they've even lost an additional 20% of viewership. And we already know that they're losing because they can't put people in stadiums. I honestly think that when this is all over next year, they're going to have a real hard time putting, you know, and selling tickets. Right now, when you've limited the seats because of COVID, well, everybody looks at the empty stadiums and says, well, I mean, that's just because of COVID. But because the NFL has ratcheted down their position regarding social justice, they are working to subvert our Constitution. Now, I want to be really clear. When you read up on social justice, and as a matter of fact, let me just go ahead and do the old Google, and because it's right here. Just Google social justice, and what will come up from Google as they define this, justice in terms of the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. That is tantamount, my friends, to communism. The NBA social justice is openly supporting the Chinese Communist Party and slavery. I want you to understand what I just said. These professional sports are actually supporting slavery. They want you to become a slave to the state. You're going to do what you're told. They're going to pay for your basic necessities. You're not going to lose your home because they're going to seize property, or the owners of property, their ability to be able to harm you by kicking you out onto the street, even if you don't pay. Who do they think they are? Who do these people that own this property think they are just because you can't pay? How inhuman are you? And government is so human because they're going to protect you. Woe unto those people who sell their souls to become basically slaves to the state. They have no faith in themselves. They have no faith in God. And they have no faith in their ability to become self-sufficient. Have we lost all hope? Because the greatest hope mankind has is not only the desire, but the actualizing self-sufficiency, to be able to support yourself and not be dependent. I mean, it is innate within life itself, as you are born into the dependency of your parents, to become self-sufficient. There's not supposed to be a handoff from the parents to the state. Are you kidding? What the heck's going on, folks? Have we lost our moral compass? Now, I want you to understand that we need to absolutely rebuke these positions that these athletic teams, these professional sports, even the college sports. Yeah, that's right, because even college sports are paying homage to, I forget the guy's name, but they're putting his name on their jerseys and on the helmets. And here's a guy that actually raped. He's been charged for raping. I don't know if he's been indicted and convicted. I got to look at all the details. But the bottom line is we're looking at somebody that wasn't a good person. It's the same thing over and over again. And the question is, why are we not looking to the people's parents? Now, I do know that I think it was Louisiana where that, and I'm really bad with names, but there were that young lady was shot and killed, and there was a $12 million lawsuit. Because bottom line, here was a good person that was killed, and I believe it had more to do with an illegal search and seizure with a use of force that should never have been done. You know what? If you want to complain about this stuff, where did this stuff really begin? When did that level of military search and seizure ever start happening? Can anybody remember when in America law enforcement became so thug-like that they would kick your doors down and literally wave guns around and intimidate you into, you know, prostrating yourself? And you couldn't do anything about it. Well, I remember this happening in the Clinton administration. I remember this happening several times in the Clinton administration, where the police state, or I should say the enforcement state, became militarized. Do you remember Ruby Ridge? Do you remember Waco? Do you remember who was it? The Cuban boy that was literally, you know, seized in the middle of the night. I mean, their thug-like tactics was very open and out for everybody to see. Do you think it's gotten any better? Do you think that all went away? No. And as a matter of fact, that paradigm is problematic. But if you're the kind of person that actually sides yourself and you tend to cling to the hyperbole, the hyperbolic paradigm that everybody that dons a uniform is a hero, then I'm sorry. You know, everybody that attends school doesn't deserve a star on their paper. I believe that we need to start recognizing those who are a step above. Just because somebody was in the uniform and they had to do something, because it's kind of like the law enforcement and the fire department, that, you know, that was their job to do. It's just like those who go to war. There are harrowing experiences that do occur, but not everybody's a hero. And I'm going to tell you, most of these guys that I know that went into war, or those people that actually went into 9/11, into the buildings, the rescue people and so forth, they weren't looking at themselves as heroes. They were just trying to do their job the best they can and survive at it. And then there's those people that actually put their life and their own needs aside and sacrifice themselves. Those are the real heroes that have actually given their lives for others so that others could survive, so that others could live. That's where we really find those who gave the ultimate sacrifice. Those are the heroes. But everybody else that, you know, was in the job at the time and the call of duty, I mean, there were plenty of people that were off that, you know, just felt, hey, I got to get in there and help. Those are my brothers in arms. When the gunfire and the fence gets stormed by, you know, the North Vietnamese or what have you, you know, even though you may be off and, hey, it's your turn to, you know, sip some brews and, you know, catch up on the game. I'm sorry. That stuff, you know, gets thrown away. And that's what we need to do now. We need to throw away this entertainment industry, because it is absolutely our enemy. It is our enemy, and we actually need to poke them in the eye. We need to actually go after them. And as a matter of fact, I want you to also understand that there's people out there that are poking those of us that are espousing the Constitution. And I'm here to tell you that those people are identifying themselves, and you need to identify them as your enemy. Anyway, so this is really not about race. This is all about control. So as I was going to get into yesterday with the G. Edward Griffin Need to Know News, he reported up in Shasta County, California, more than 80 residents and business owners last week held a rally outside the Board of Supervisors chamber and demanded Shasta County reopen and lift its mask mandate. Carlos Zapata, who told the county leaders that families are starving and the restrictions on businesses are causing good law-abiding citizens to become revolutionaries who will go to war against them if they continue. He said 6 veterans in the area committed suicide after losing their jobs. This is where we're heading, and we cannot allow them to control the narrative the way they are. Now, everybody's heard about the Goodyear fiasco where the CEO, Rich Kramer, issued a direct apology. Or actually, you may not have heard this, but everybody heard how they were actually saying you can't have Make America Great hats or any apparel. These are the things that you can wear. If you are employed by Goodyear, while you're at work, you can wear, you know, the LGBT, Black Lives Matter, as long as you are, you know, promoting these leftist agendas, that's great. But any apparel that says all lives matter, any apparel that says MAGA and what have you, those were unacceptable and banned. Anyway, Rich Kramer issued a direct apology after a leaked slide from a quote-unquote diversity training in Topeka, Kansas, supported Black Lives Matter and the LGBT attire for its employees. And this bias was with a zero tolerance policy against employees having favorable or favoring attire wearing Blue Lives Matter, All Lives Matter, MAGA, and other political types of slogans and or statements. And so I'll finish this when we come right back from the break. And then we will get into it. We're really going to heat it up going into the Constitution. So please stay tuned. We've got a lot more marketing for you. We'll be right back after this. Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org and let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath even though we're not required to take it because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open.
Okay, so everybody knows about this story. And most people know that Trump reacted and actually said to ban Goodyear because of the ban on his MAGA hats and advising people to buy tires from another company. I will tell you, just on the personal side, I gave up Goodyear a long time ago. I remember in the 90s, I loved my Goodyear tires, those Z-rated tires, the high traction. I would go through them, but the traction was just awesome. I gave up on those at the end of the 90s, early 2000s, when I had more and more problems with defective tires. As a matter of fact, I had tires that I had for, you know, a high-speed car that actually started bubbling because the tire was defective. And I go back to Goodyear, oh, well, you know, even though I was within the parameters, they did everything they could not to replace my tires. And I said, I'm done with you. If I have to spend this kind of time for you to stand behind the product, and, you know, this was obviously defective, it was nothing done on my part where I've had bubbles on a performance car. And I'm going, are you kidding me? Well, I don't buy Goodyear anymore. I left Goodyear a long time ago just because of the way they had changed their paradigm. I knew a lot of people. I knew Marines that went out of their way and bought Goodyear batteries and Goodyear tires and had Goodyear financing just so they could keep those products on. And that in the 80s helped bolster and move Goodyear to a position where they felt that they could get away with everything that they were doing. And obviously, they've come out of the closet. I am telling you, just because Rich Kramer issued a direct apology, that does not mean that the culture has changed or their ideology has changed, and where they put their money and how they invest is politically driven. They are going to constantly do things that will be detrimental to our free society. They may be an American company, but they are lost. So anyway, here's good J. Edward Griffin basically saying that their stock price has plummeted by 6%. Now, 6% is not really a plummet to me. It's a dip. However, the shares of Goodyear, as far as their market share, they are down 40% year to date. Some of that may have something to do with what we would call the COVID effect, because people are driving less, just like gasoline, the consumption of gasoline has gone down. So most people's bills and the need to replace tires may be going down just because of COVID. Anyway, J. Edward Griffin moves on and says, while Goodyear has an anti-cop bias, they have an entire line of tires called Eagle Enforcer that is marketed towards the police vehicles. And some law enforcement officials joined the boycott. Goodyear chairman Rich Kramer released a statement that said, in part, "We have clarified our policy to make it clear associates can express support for law enforcement, though apparel at Goodyear facilities or through apparel at Goodyear facilities." Apparently, the ban on MAGA hats still remains. And so if you didn't know how this kind of ended, their paradigm has not changed, my friends. And it doesn't change because they get called out. They apologize. They do a little lip service. But it's just a hoodwink. They're only hoodwinking America into thinking, oh, well, they're not as bad. Are you kidding? I have told you, and we've talked about the wiring. These folks are wired hard. They have zero compassion. You will be compelled, and they're waiting for the day when they can actually force you to do what they need done, because once they've done it, and once they control us, and once they've enslaved us, then life will be better for them. These guys have no idea what the can of whoop butt or whoop ass that's coming down the road when all of a sudden the state does take control. Companies and the people that might be involved in some of these companies, yeah, they may be rewarded. But 9 times out of 10, those who were involved in promoting the ideology, they get thrown into the heaps as well. And they get divided out and or separated and decimated. What makes these people think that they've got this golden ticket because they're supporting this concept of communism? It eludes me, and I hope that you can start recognizing that there is zero tolerance when it comes to their paradigm. Now, here's an interesting thing, and we want to focus on China. Zhao Shengyi, and I probably got that wrong, became a household name overnight in China and among overseas Chinese communities after he suggested in a recent social media post that Beijing should deploy nuclear weapons to counter the United States' recent actions. Now, are you getting this? Here is somebody who actually has a bully pulpit. I believe he's a professor, but let's get into this a little bit more. The Tibetan Plateau, which serves as the source for 10 major rivers in Asia, provides water. More on China here. Also provides water to hundreds of millions across the continent. But the Chinese regime has weaponized these waters to fuel its own industrialization, starving downstream Asia countries of this precious resource. China analysts and Tibetan activist Mora Moyahan says she sounded the warning as water management has gained importance in China, which has experienced its worst flooding in decades over the past few months. Tens of millions of people were displaced across the central and southwestern China, and billions of dollars have been wiped out from China's economy, or I should say washed away from China's economy because of all this flooding. Now, going back to that professor, the professor is already stating that they need to ratchet it up several notches in using military force. Do you think China is going to passively deal with America as they gain more and more footing in the world economy, as well as they gain more and more footing as a military? Right now, I think they've got a small complement of naval ships to project power. That's going to change within the next 5 years. That's why they said by 2030, they plan on they have a plan in place by 2030 that they will not even, they'll have such a show of force and they'll have such dominance that they will be able to become and knock America off and become the bully of the block. And it's going to get worse. But anyway, back to this, this whole water thing and what the heck's going on in China. China does not care. And I've told you, they have an abundance of people. What is it if a half a million people die? They still have, half that already waiting. And they've got people that can't be nearly productive. China would welcome the day if they could, through a fast attrition rate, be able to streamline, thin the herd, and be able to improve their efficiencies as well as improve their controls and motivation factors in getting people to perform the way they want them to, because that's when the estate becomes really effective and you will see them become far more active in that level of control or assertion of their control over the people. Now, more than 1,600 ballots, you probably heard about this, but more than 1,600 ballots from a New Jersey primary election were found last week in a mislabeled bin, an election official said. According to a statement from Sussex County Board of Elections Administrator Marge McCabe, the 1,666 ballots cast in the July 7 primary were discovered Thursday, the New Jersey Herald reported. After the state attorney general's office was notified, the remaining ballots were counted and certified by the Sussex County clerk's office the same day the newspaper reported it. Now, what I'm telling you is that this is how this is how they've won elections in Washington. All of a sudden, they found a box or in the trunk of a car, a few boxes of ballots that were never counted. And what they do is they rush to count the votes. They don't even qualify the votes, or they don't even check or even audit. So let's say you actually have somebody that votes three different times with a mail-in ballot, and they verify that. Supposedly, that all gets done. I'm telling you that they don't necessarily, and who verifies that that was actually done, that there was a double check and account? Remember when I told you in 2012, there were 5 million extra votes for Obama above and beyond how many votes were made for Congress. Now, again, 5 million more than what was votes for Congress. Go read in 2012 how many evangelicals refused to vote for president and only voted in the other issues like their congressman and so forth. If I remember correctly, it was reported somewhere in the tune of between 10 and 20 million. So how is it that there were 5 million more votes for Obama when 10 to 20 million people didn't even vote for president, but they voted for their congressperson? That's how many votes were jammed into the system to try to throw the election for Obama. Now, you do the math and look at how many votes Romney didn't get, and you'd probably say Romney probably actually did win that election. Unfortunately, there were too few people really counting, and there was no audit of that election whatsoever. There needs to be a full audit. I'm telling you, we've had a bogus election system for a long time, and it is only getting worse. So with that, we'll be right back after these two promos. Thank you so much.
Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to ReclaimingTheRepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much.
To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to ReclaimingTheRepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process.
Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255.
Okay, so some of the things we've kind of been reporting as far as the Antifa, the attacks, and what the heck's going on, the lack of justice, we're literally, these are the throes of a Bolshevik revolution, my friends. I'm telling you this, and I want you to understand this. As a matter of fact, to help kind of build up to this, because there's plenty of news just like this. However, this right here is probably something that should have shocked every American when those two police were basically ambushed in their patrol car. And I believe this was in L.A. because an interview with KABC Radio, Sheriff Alex Villanueva said the reward money has reached $175,000 after two individuals donated $75,000 and to the $100,000 offered by the county. And basically, this is what he said. This challenge is to LeBron James. I want you to match that and double that reward, Villanueva said. I know you care about law enforcement. As a matter of fact, he doesn't. You expressed a very interesting statement about your perspective on race relations and an officer-involved shootings and the impact that it has had on the African-American community. And I appreciated that. But likewise, we need to appreciate that respect for the life goes across professions, across races, creeds, and I'd like to see LeBron James step up to the plate and double that reward. In an interview with the AP, Villanueva said the angry rhetoric is making deputies work more difficult. They're out there doing their job, and yet we have people fanning the flames of hatred and just turning up the volume when we don't need it. The need to be turning it down, Villanueva said, particularly our elected officials and civic leaders and sports figures. They need to start emphasizing trust in the system and due process. And that's not happening, but that's because if this is about control, this is about a communist revolution. In Frederick, Maryland, more injustice. John Marvin Weed, 59, died last year at the fair after two brothers aged 15 and 16 beat him for refusing to give them a dollar. The boys repeatedly punched him in the head and knocked him out with a sucker punch before spitting on him while he laid on the ground dying. The 15-year-old, who reportedly delivered the fatal blow, was tried as a juvenile and pleaded guilty to manslaughter. I want you to understand that what we are seeing is, this is biblical, where the hearts have been removed. We have become entangled and ensnared and enamored by evil doings, where people, where kids are finding credibility by committing crimes and heinous acts like this. I pray that the Lord touches the hearts and the minds of Americans, that they may recognize the evil at our door. And unless we repel those who are at our door working to enslave and kill us, all will be lost. Here's the other one regarding, and this is more detail regarding the situation. Judge Julie Stephen Solt made the decision to keep him in the juvenile system, even though the state requested that he be tried as an adult. The unidentified teen was placed in a juvenile facility until he completes a behavioral modification program where he is being provided with anger management, training, and social skills and education. His brother, who was 16 at the time of the killing, was initially charged with 2 counts of second-degree assault related to the attack, including the act of spitting on the victim as he lay dying on the ground. Judge Solt ultimately ordered the teen to be placed on probation and enrolled in an anger management program. I'm here to tell you, my friends, that that is injustice, and this is enabling kids to believe that they can commit murder, they can do anything. You know, we left California years ago because we recognized the sentiments of the politicians and the legal system to not value our life and our property, that we needed to move somewhere where those tenets and those sentiments were still clinging and still, within the grasp of our society, within the local government. We live in a local area that still has that. But we are being overshadowed by an evil force of the blue side of the state. I'm here to tell you that things are only getting worse and things are becoming even more blatant. So what is it going to take to get you involved? Well, here's another story with G. Edward Griffin. Virginia State Senator Louise Lucas is facing felony charges for conspiracy to commit a felony and injury to a monument causing more than $1,000 in damage during protests that led to the demonstrator being critically injured when a Confederate statue was torn down. Police Chief Angela Green said several individuals conspired and organized to destroy the monument and to summon hundreds of people to join in the felonious act, which basically resulted in hundreds of thousands of dollars in damage to the monument, but also permanent injury to an individual. And this is, the Portsmouth NAACP representative James Boyd, Louis Gibbs, and Lakeisha Hicks, and Lakeisha Atkinson, a city school board member, are facing the same charges as Senator Lucas. 3 public defenders, Brenda Spry, Alexander Stevens, and Meredith Kramer, face a single felony charge of injury to a monument in an excess of $1,000. So this list of public servants and people that are supposedly to uphold the law are actually involved in this Bolshevik revolution. How many times have you heard about education and educators being involved, being out there leading the charge of this Bolshevik revolution? Well, I digress. Let me go on. According to the Washington Post, hours before the monument was destroyed, Senator Lucas appeared on video taken by police telling officers they could not arrest demonstrators who, she said, were preparing to paint the monument. Later that night, the mob pulled the statues down and also painted them. Last month, Senator Lucas filed a defamation lawsuit against attorney Tim Anderson after he accused her of telling police they were not allowed to disband the protesters and not allowed to intervene while the vandalism was happening. He said, quote, "What we have is an elected state senator telling the mob that it's okay to vandalize city property, and then as a result, a person gets hurt, and now it's the police's fault for not disbanding the mob. Luis Lucas caused an entirely very dangerous situation in the city of Portsmouth. She caused a mob to come out there and gave them permission to vandalize the property, and that resulted in somebody getting seriously injured. She violated her oath of office in supporting the Constitution because she allowed the law to be put aside for her political agenda." Now, I want to just say this real quick. Thomas Jefferson was investigated by a traveling judge to determine whether he abandoned his post. Folks, we have all sorts of politicians abandoning their post and their responsibility of upholding the law and supporting the Constitution. In Chicago, Waylid Mohammed, the owner of a convenience store, is suing the city for police inaction after the store was robbed for the second time on August 9th, resulting in massive damage and the theft of an ATM machine. Mohammed had invested $300,000 in security cameras and his new steel security door after the first time his store was robbed in May during the George Floyd riots. Mohammed blames the police for the destruction of his store because they failed to even try to stop the thieves. Now, let's place context to these crimes that public servants are committing, whether they be the law enforcement, community, whether they be politicians or what have you. In Portland, Antifa and Black Lives Matter mercenaries attacked a truck driver, Jordan Hollingsworth, on August 5th. And I know that you've probably even seen this video that showed him blocking his vehicle, these protesters blocking his vehicle, slashing his tires, breaking the windshield, and even throwing a motorcycle in front of him to make him stop. He dragged the motorcycle for 12 blocks and was chased by the militants until his truck would no longer run. He eventually got out of the truck and confronted the gang while holding a gun. The mob then stole paperwork from his vehicle with his address. They are now harassing him at his home and breaking his windows, sending death threats, and so forth. Now we hear that Hollingsworth may face criminal charges for defending himself. Folks, are you recognizing where we are as a nation and what the heck's going on when our government is no longer valuing protecting you, allowing you to protect yourself and your property, and they're calling you the criminal? I could go on and on and on. What is it going to take? I want you to ponder once again your responsibility in your First Amendment petitioning to call government out that they are failing to live up to their oath of office because they are supporting open rebellion against our Constitution and our representative form of government. I want you to understand that if we do not defend the Constitution, we will lose it. Tomorrow is Constitution Day, and we kick off Constitution Week. We will be diving into it, and we'll hopefully place context to the parts of the Constitution that you really need to know with what's going on. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless.
The reason progressives are effective in instituting their policies is because they are united ideologically, financially, and socially. In addition, almost every billionaire in the world is funding a vast array of different groups, and these groups' efforts are to undermine our republic and our Constitution. If you don't believe me, just Google donors to the Open Society Foundations. The only way we're going to successfully combat these efforts and take back our liberties, like our education system, healthcare, state lands, housing, labor, and many other roles, responsibilities, responsibilities and powers that belong to the states is by you and I and local businesses getting involved in supporting political programs and efforts based on constitutional principles. The best way to do this is supporting result-oriented organizations designed to take back our lost liberties. The ultimate result-oriented effort is Republic Review, so please consider contributing to the show and the organizations and activities that we are supporting by going to ReclaimingTheRepublic.org and go to the contributions page, and you can become a listed supporter of liberty.